Greatness is not in titles or in positions or in possessions.
Dr. Tony Evans says we can discover substantial rewards when we seek to help others.
And if you miss servanthood, you've missed one of the primary callings of salvation.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Some people think that acting like a servant is beneath them, but Dr. Evans says that's because they don't really understand the God who's above them. Let's join him as he explains.
Some weeks ago, I got a phone call, and on the other line was a man named Dan Cathy. Dan Cathy said, "Tony Evans, I was passing through town and just wanted to call and see how you were doing. I hope things are going well at the church and in the ministry, and I want you to know that you and your church and your national ministry, the Urban Alternative, are prayed for by our company." Dan Cathy is the son of Truett Cathy. Truett Cathy is the founder of Chick-fil-A. If you were to go to Atlanta, where the Chick-fil-A headquarters are, they have sitting out in front of the building a purpose statement. The purpose statement reads that we might glorify God by being faithful stewards in all that God has entrusted to our care, and that we might have a positive influence on all the people that we might come into contact with. They are unashamedly Christian, and yet they have one of the biggest, largest, most successful franchises in America today, closing on Sunday and still making a big profit. They also have a mission statement to be America's best quick service restaurant at winning and keeping customers. To be America's best quick service restaurant at winning and keeping customers. In other words, they say we're going to outserve everybody else. We're going to outserve everybody else. They understand that the key to the expansion of an enterprise is not only a great product. You need a great product. What you serve must be worth the value that you attach to it. But they also recognize how you serve it matters. Nothing will make you want to leave a restaurant that cooks good food any quicker than a bad waiter or waitress. Jesus in Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, it's talking about a kingdom culture. It is the Sermon on the Mount where he is telling his disciples how kingdom people think and live. And his point is, or one of his major points is, they think and live differently than the culture of which they are a part. They have to reach down and find the divinely endowed strength within to be different than the dog-eat-dog world, what goes around, comes around world that they are a part of. He gives them a different attitude followed by different actions. He said, now I know what the Old Testament said in verse 38, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You get me, I'm gonna get you. You raise your voice at me, I'm gonna raise my voice at you. You mess over me, I'm gonna mess over you. Worse than you messed over me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. On numbers of occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And Saul was out to do David no good. David had Saul right in his sights and could have slain him. Instead, he says, I will not touch God's anointed. He left room for the wrath of God. Saul committed suicide. If he would have killed him, it would have been murder. The problem is, If you've never seen God intervene in a situation, you don't think he can, and you don't think he will, because you've not seen it. You say, well, why haven't I seen it? Because you haven't left room for it. He says, leave room for the wrath of God. When Joseph was unfairly treated by his brothers, wasn't fair. Treat me like this. I'm your own brother, and you treat me like this. Put me in slavery, and I'm accused of rape. I'm forgotten in jail. When his brothers finally came to him, they were scared that Joseph was going to kill them because of what they had done to Joseph. He uttered four words that would forever change everything. He said, come near to me. They're trembling. They're trembling. This is a guy we abused, we misused, we stepped on. You were out to get me. You were out to hurt me. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? God meant it. God's going to take your evil, and he meant it for good, and then he said, to bring me to this place. He used your mess to move me up and to save the lives of many. If we will simply not keep God out of the equation, because it ain't over till God says it's over. This is so important to me. The spirit of the ministry, I'll call it that. This spirit of this atmosphere, not a business atmosphere. A family atmosphere, an atmosphere where, because we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And how we as a ministry go the second mile. See, we get to see sometimes broken people come through our doors. And they have a wrong attitude. But when we find out what brought them here, it doesn't make the bad attitude right, but it makes you more patient with it, because you understand they just been through hell and have drugged themselves into the house of God. He says, I want you to go the second mile. The focus is on verse 41. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Jesus is calling his disciples then and his disciples now to a higher level of living. Not merely the demand for justice, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He says, no, you go higher than that. You don't limit yourself to simply what the just call is. Jesus made it clear that the hallmark of his life would be servanthood. He says, by this shall all men know you're my disciple. In John 13, he says that you love one another. He says that the greatest of you will be your servant. That greatness is not in titles or in positions or in possessions. That if you're not a good servant, you're not a great person. Many of us have met successful people who you don't want to deal with, because they're successful and they want you to know they're successful too. Jesus made the hallmark of his ministry and over again demonstrated to his disciples that the thing that will mark you is the attitude in which you serve. Most people go to worship selfish, not worship service. The question is, what am I going to get out of it today? And you ought to get something out of it. You ought to benefit from, be blessed by the ministry you are a part of. But he wants to make it clear that if you miss servanthood, you've missed one of the primary callings of salvation. On one occasion in John 13, he He met with his disciples in the upper room for their last meeting before he would be crucified. And they all walked in the room. And Jesus stood before them and he took a towel and wrapped it around him. He took a basin because that's what servants do. He was the number one man and he became a servant. And then he said, now you go do likewise. That if there is an absence of the spirit of servanthood, there is an absence of ministry. No matter how great the service, how great the sermons, how magnificent the singing, how palatial the facilities, if the folk who gather there aren't servants, that is God's definition of servanthood, then we've missed it. How do you know if you have the spirit of a servant? How do we know if our church has the spirit of servanthood? Well, in this kingdom culture sermon, one of the chief ways you know is your willingness to go the second mile. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Go with him too. That is going above and beyond the requirement, the job description. Going above and beyond to demonstrate, I know I am a servant.
Dr. Evans will have more on the benefits of exceeding expectations when he returns in just a few moments. First, though, I want to let you know that today's message is part of his current teaching series called Treasures in the Darkness, a compilation about unpacking your full potential, finding help when you feel helpless, and refusing to settle for less than God's best. This series is packed with key biblical principles and loads of encouragement, so we'd like you to have your own copy of all 5 full-length lessons with our thanks when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry. We'll also include his popular book, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior, as a special bonus. But this Friday is the last day we can make this special double resource offer available. So be sure to contact us right away at tonyevans.org to make your contribution and your request. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where friendly members of our resource team are standing by around the clock to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
The reviews for Dr. Evans' study Bible and commentary have continued to pour in. Arlene wrote, "Absolutely love this study Bible. The Kingdom Living sections provide relevance to our day-to-day living with practical examples. The Q&A sections help us to pick Dr. Evans' brain on certain topics without being in front of him." Get a copy of Dr. Tony Evans' study Bible and commentary today.
Please notice a word in the verse. The word is force. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So we're not talking about a pleasant situation here. This is not rolling with somebody you like. This is not hanging with your homies. This is not positioning yourself with your posse. This somebody is imposing on you because it's a force. That means that they hold a position to force you. They have positioned themselves or have a title or a role to insist on something. He says, if someone forces you. Now, there is a background to that statement. The background to the statement is the law regarding the Roman soldier. You see, back in New Testament day, Rome was the the big powerhouse, and they would capture a people and bring them under Roman rule. And Roman law said that if a Roman soldier did not want to carry his backpack and he saw one of the citizens or one of the conquered people walking down the road, he could take his backpack off and say, "Carry this. I don't feel like carrying this. You carry this." He had the sword. He had the uniform. He had the power. And you had no option, because he was in charge and he forced you. He made you do this. The law says that you could force a person, a Roman soldier could force a person to do this for up to 1 mile. Up to 1 mile, you could make him go that far carrying your backpack. And Jesus says, much to our irritation and exacerbation, "I know what the rule says, 1 mile." He says, "Go two. Go two." And now I know some of you are saying, I'll tell him where to go. God says that servanthood should be such a dominant orientation of people who are operating under a kingdom culture that when we are put upon, when our liberty has been imposed on, go above and beyond the requirement. The second mile is to go above and beyond the requirement. And it's quiet in here. But I can understand it. I can hear the questions. How far do you do this? How far do you go? For how many people do you do this? I mean, you know, I feel your pain. Jesus is establishing a mindset, a perspective. And the context of the perspective is a context of being in enemy territory. You're being forced. He talks about, in verse 43, your enemy. It's easy to get along with folk you get along with. Doesn't take much to facilitate folk you like, or for folk who like you to facilitate you. That's the easy part. Being a Christian would be easy if it weren't for people. If I could follow Jesus and not have to deal with folk, I could be a great Christian. I could be a better pastor if I didn't have to deal with a congregation. Many of you would say, "Quickly, I could be happy if I wasn't married." Because people have a way of imposing, of disappointing, of forcing. But what Jesus wants is a mindset, is an orientation that's so thick with servanthood, with going the extra mile. Now, please notice what he didn't say. He says, when you are forced to go 1 mile, the law, the requirement, go the second mile. He never mentions a third or a fourth, because God knows that there are limitations. Now you want to make noise. It said in verse 39, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, to slap on the cheek, you remember the old duels when they slapped the guy on the cheek? Okay, it was to give an insult. To slap on the cheek was the insult. He says, give him your other cheek too. Okay? Now the good news is you only have two cheeks. In other words, there is a limitation. So he is not suggesting yourself that you throw yourself out for unnecessary extended abuse. But what he is saying is, have you gone the extra mile? Because if everybody is going the extra mile, then the atmosphere is pregnant with servanthood. It's pregnant with it. Because you're an extra mile person, I'm an extra mile person, we become an extra mile church. Our homes are full of appliances, and those appliances are there to serve us. No matter what your appliance is not there for it. It is there for you. It is there to cook or to cold or to freeze or to toast or to open a can. It is there to fulfill a service. It is your servant. If your refrigerator could talk, I'm sure there are nights it would say, it's 3 a.m. Why don't you leave me alone? In other words, we call upon our servants, our appliances, to serve us not only at the prescribed times, but we want their availability all the time, because that's what they're there for. Now, there are limitations, because you don't go to the fridge to heat the food. In other words, it serves within the scope of its capacity. It doesn't do what it can't do, because it's just not set up to do that. But whatever it's set up to do, it does well if it's working. God's problem is he can't get Christians working. And so the refrigerator doesn't keep it cold, and the stove doesn't make it hot, and the bread doesn't pop up. Because they're regularly asking the question, owner of the house, what have you done for me lately? Of course, your answer ought to be, you in the house. Jesus says, if you are pressed to go 1 mile, the rule, go the second mile, the limitation, but it ought to be clear that you are never limited to the rule. From the perspective of a servant.
Dr. Tony Evans, with a good reminder to seek opportunities to do good. And you know, the best example we have of servanthood and going the extra mile was demonstrated when Jesus Christ chose to sacrifice his life to save ours. Our future, both now and for eternity, depends on understanding what Jesus did, why he did it, and what it means for us personally. You can make that discovery today by visiting TonyEvans.org and following the link that says Jesus. There's a video by Tony that explains everything, along with downloadable follow-up resources, so check it out right away. And while you're there, you can get a copy of today's lesson to review on your own or share with others. It's part of Tony's current teaching series, Treasures in the Darkness. As I mentioned earlier, you get all 5 lessons in this collection, both on CDs and digital downloads, as our gift to you in appreciation for your donation toward Tony's ministry, along with a special bonus, his popular book, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. Don't miss out. Visit TonyEvans.org right away to get all the details and make your request. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource team members are standing by to assist you with your request 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. In school, at work, even at church, people often wonder, what's the absolute minimum I can do to get by? Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why just enough isn't enough. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.